We're up to Perukhav Beis. We're up to Pasuk Dalet. Ekev Anava Yiras Hashem.
Maybe we repeat that.
What?
That medrash you said.
Yes, what medrash? Oh, Rus from Megillas Esther. Okay, let him sit down. We'll come to a review. First pasuk dalet. Ekev anavi yiras Hashem is perchav beis pasuk dalet. Ekev anavi yiras Hashem oishar v'chavod v'chayim. That ekev means in the wake, or ekev is because of the mitzvah stuff. It says ekev means the sof, just like the heel of the body is the end of the body. So here it's a borrowed term, means sof. Sof anava yiras Hashem. If a person works on anava, he humbles himself, the result, the sof will be, he will come lidei yiras Hashem. That will be the goal. The goal is, it's a technique in order to achieve yiras Hashem, a person should work on the midah of anava. Osher v'chavod v'chayim, not only will he receive yiras Hashem, he will also receive osher chav v'chayim. Four things. Anava leads to yiras Hashem, it leads to osher, it leads to chavod, and it leads to chayim. Let's see the mitzvah of the pasuk dal egev. Sof anava yiras Hashem, the end of anava is yiras Hashem. Ratzo loymar ho anava tisavev hayira. Anava, humility, causes, it brings about, it is instrumental. It triggers hayira, ki kishayakir b'shiflus asmo, when a person bleeds to, it leads to anava, ki kishayakir b'shiflus asmo, the person recognizes the lowliness of himself, yagdil remus hamokim, immediately he recognizes the exaltedness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'tovay b'libo yiras haremus, and it enters his heart, the yiras haremus, the yimson, he'll find, once he discovers the yiras haremus, he will discover osher, chavod, and chayim. Ezehu osher, hasomeach, v'chelkoi. Kavod is ezehu mechabed, ezehu mechubod hamechabed, the one that gives honor to other people, and v'chayim means chayim ha'olam haba. Let's see Rashi. Rashi pasuk dalet ekev anava, b'shvil. Beshvil anava yiras Hashem ba, through humility.
What does it mean? In essence, how are you supposed to think or conduct yourself?
Shiflus atzma. That's what it says in our mitzudos. Ki kishiyakir beshiflus atzma. Person is nothing. Shiflus. He's not worth anything. He has no value. He is actually no value. You know what anava means. There are different types of anava. They commonly explain that anava doesn't mean you walk around with your head in the ground and you believe. Anava means you recognize clearly your talents. You recognize where you stand relative to all other people in society, but you don't abuse. You don't abuse your gifts. Moshe Rabbeinu was Vayish Moshe Anav Mikol Hadam Shapnei Hadama. Does that mean Moshe did not realize that he was the God of Hadar, that he was the one who spoke to Kadosh Baruch? Of course he realized. Of course he realized that he was the God of Hadar. But it means he did not let this greatness, his exalted gift and talent, get to him and allow him to abuse other people, look down at other people. That's what Anav is. They say about Gedolim, certain Gedolim, they ask them the question, would you switch? Let's ask the Irish person, would you like to switch with Moshe Rabbeinu, or pick any big leader in the world, any great tzaddik that you worship? Of Moshe Feinstein, making Moshe Rabbeinu have a hard time relating to. You need someone that lived in our generation that you saw, that you recognized, that you had respect for. So take a person of Moshe Feinstein. Would you want to switch? You have a guy, an average person in society. Switch. Of Moshe Feinstein will be you, and you'll be of Moshe Feinstein. True love is to say no. There's no purpose in switching, because Hashem, the purpose of being in this world is to serve Hashem. If I would switch with Rav Moshe Feinstein, when the day is over, there would still only be one Rav Moshe Feinstein, and there would only be one Zusha. There would be one Zusha and one Moshe Feinstein. So what benefit is there for me taking the glory for myself and being there of Moshe Feinstein?
That's the true anava. What? The Torah that you'll know, but so what? So very good, I'll know. But Zusha was not meant to know. This Torah, Zusha doesn't have the brains, doesn't have the kuches hanefesh to know this amount of Torah. But yet Hashem created the Zusha. Hashem created a Moshe Feinstein. Hashem created a Zusha. So if you say to a person, would you like to switch? You'll have the fame and the glory and the honor of having the name of Moshe Feinstein. And if Moshe Feinstein will turn into Zusha. So true enough is to say, no, I don't want to switch. It's not necessary to switch. Because who are we here for in this world? We're only here to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when the global picture, and when the day is over, when the world is over, when creation, when the world achieves its purpose, there will only be one Rav Moshe, and there's only one Zusha, and each person will fulfill his tafkid. So why should I take the honor for myself? That is true anava. I think that example, to a very large degree, illustrates what anava is. You know who you are, you know what you are, you know who this person is. Every person has their purpose and their role, and it's not for me to take advantage of a situation.
Okay. You have a similar passage earlier.
Yeah.
That says, right, if tzedakah, nimtza chayim tzedakah v'chavali.
Oh, so here you want to say chayim tzedakah, yeah.
The order is a different question.
Okay.
Over there, there's no Aisha. You write the tzedakah, you get tzedakah.
And here, when you're Ekev Anova,
away from everything, you get Aisha, you get the.
Very good point. You're saying when you're Roidev means to pursue, Ekev means to backtrack, has a connotation that you're running away.
So away, the money runs after
you. Runs after you, very nice. It's a beautiful drush.
Even if you run to give
you tzedakah, run, it shows you Machshav Tzedakah, it shows you enjoy money.
So you get Tzedakah, so but you won't get Aisha.
Aisha, beautiful, it's a very nice idea, very nice. Ekev has a connotation of back stepping back. Very, very nice. Very good, okay. Okay, so this is the Rashi. This is what? No, I didn't see anything new. I didn't see any information. I'm sure there is, but I didn't see it. Let's first over here, Rashi. Rashi says, Ekev Anava, Beshvil Anava, Yiras Hashem Bo. Period. Dover Acher, Anava Ikur, Vayira Tefela. Now, according to the first interpretation, let's take a step back. There's an order. Anava leads to Yira, which means which one is greater, which one is the goal? The goal is Yiras Hashem. Ekev Anav, if you follow the steps, you take the baby steps, you'll reach the goal, the ultimate goal of Yiras Hashem. Beshvil Anav, Yiras Hashem Ba, period. But in the second interpretation, it's just the opposite. Dover Acher, Anav Ikor, Anav is the primary goal, the Hayira Tfela, the Ekev La, and Ekev La means it's secondary, it stands below, it's on the heels of Yiras Hashem is the Ekev relative to Anava. Ekev Anava, what is the Ekev, the heel, the lowest portion of Anava? Yiras Hashem. So that means, it's a shocking concept. According to the second interpretation, it's telling you that humility is even greater than having fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Seemingly because humility captures everything. A person can be afraid of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he can still be a Baal Gaiva. Okay, there are many Bali Gaiva out there that are afraid. I'm afraid I don't want to lose my wealth. I don't want to lose my fame, my success. So you have Yiras Hashem. You may even have the higher level of Yiras, Yiras Haroi Mimus. You recognize the awesomeness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but I'm still a big Bali Gaiva. I still hold of myself to be the greatest person on this world. But if a person is humble, that automatically captures everything. Automatically you recognize the Gresham's greatness, and you also recognize your lowliness. So that's what it's actually the second interpretation says. Another ikor, the hayira tefela of okev law, meaning midras liraglecha. Yiras Hashem alone is only the ekev of what anava is. Anava captures everything, all the good things a person can possibly want.
This would be the epitome of the Muslim movement.
The epitome of the Muslim movement is what? What do you mean?
To be Anava.
To be Anava, Nevardik. Mm-hmm. There were two yeshivas in pre-war Europe, Nevardik and Slobodka. In Slobodka, they emphasized the godless ha'adam, the greatness of man. You wear nice clothing, you look good, you're always well-dressed, you love yourself. And Nevardik was shiftless, person is nothing. In Nevardik,
you brush your hat once, sometimes a year, you were
Belgaiva. In Nevardik, what was the custom in Nevardik? They would teach the students to go into a hardware store and ask them, do you have some bread, some eggs, some milk? So they would say to you, this is a hardware, shugina. What are you asking for some eggs, milk, and cereal in a hardware store? And you would suffer the insult. It was a humiliating experience. That's how you would gain, you would train your neshama. Then you would go into the into the bakery, grocery store, and you would say, do you have 2x4s, hammers and nails? And they would make litzanis. You shaita sheva shaitim.
You knew in advance when you were going
to go. You're asking for it. You're a sucker for punishment. Right? You're a sucker for punishment. You love abuse. You love abuse. Someone once said to me, when I was a child, I used to lane more often, and someone would say to me, "You lack." I didn't lane very well. I would make a lot of mistakes, but I wanted to learn how to lane, and I didn't know what I was doing. So the guy would say to me, "You're a sucker for abuse." To get up, it was a small minion of barely 10 people. But I don't even know who even had a minion. If you blink, maybe someone went out to the bathroom. It wasn't even a minion. But I figured this is the perfect place where you can get some practice. 10 people don't know the difference. But he would say to me, "You're a sucker for abuse."
It helped you get better in life.
Yeah, that's right. It did, absolutely. Okay, so that's what it's over here. This is now. There's another very interesting medrash. The medrash says as follows: Masha osasa chokma atara lerosha. What do we mean? Because it says in the pasuk, that chokhma, reishis chokhma yiras Hashem. But that's the beginning of the first thing we say in the morning. And we had this pasuk in two different forms in the beginning of Mishlei. Reishis chokhma yiras Hashem. According to the Medrash, reishis has a connotation of the rosh. What goes upon a person's head? What is the crown of chokhma? Yiras Hashem. Reishis Chochmah, not just the beginning of Chochmah is Yiras Hashem, but it means Reishis means the Rosh. The head of Chochmah is Yiras Hashem. The crown that a person puts upon his head is the fact, is the realization that he is a Yorei Shemayim. Tefillin. Tefillin is an expression of Yiras Shemayim. V'rohu kol ame ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikro lecha v'yadu mimeka. Tefillin represents Yira. It's the person's crown. This pasuk says, What Yira does for the person's head is what you also put on your feet. Ekev Anova, the heel of Anova is Yira Sashem. The drush is taken with Ekev, which is the sole of the foot, and the sole of Anova, meaning that through Anova you're able to dress your feet in Yira Sashem. In other words, so that means that you're covered from head to toe. From head to toe, a person is covered in Yiras Hashem. There is the intellectual pursuits, that's the mind, and then there is where your feet takes you, represents your actions, your desires, your derech in life. Your derech, not just conceptually speak, a person realizes you're sitting in a library in the basement and you're makir, oh, there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm afraid of him, he's great, Yiras Haroimimus. But what does it mean for me, practically speaking? Nothing. The derech of my life is a derech of Geneva, Gzela, and Katayim, and covet. That's the derech. That's the derech. The feet, which is symbolic of the derech of my life. I recognize there's a Ribbono Shel Olam, but what do you want from me? I'm just a boss of Adam. I have taivis. I have a yetzahara. I can't control myself. There's only that much I can do with myself. So no, you also have to take Yiras Shemayim and use it as a shoe, a minel, a sandal for your feet. So the purse is completely draped from head to toe in Yiras Hashem. This is what it says in this beautiful Medrash Mishnah. This is not Shekhan and Medrash. But these two concepts, the year goes from head to toe. Just like it says, Reishis Chochma Yiras Hashem, so too it's a sandal, La'akeva Shenemar, Ekev Anova Yiras Hashem. The Ekev of Anova is Yiras Hashem. The combination of these words together alludes to taking Anova and using it as Yiras Hashem, as a shelter for your feet. Now, along those lines, you can go one step further. Tefillin, how do we attach tefillin to our head? We use shoe straps. The ritzuos are not just straps. The ritzuos, people don't realize this, and we put the tefillin, we're using shoe straps on our head.
Avram said Michut the Ad Seroch Naal, a shoe strap. And the Medrash says the Chut was the Tzitzis. The Chut Shal Tzitzis. In reward for Avram saying Seroch Naal a shoe strap, it was Zochut to the Ritzuah Shal Tzvillin, which basically means the Ritzuah Shal Tzvillin is the equivalent of a shoe strap. And it's for that reason that the Ritzuahs are black. Halacha L'Moshe Mitzinai, the Ritzuahs are black. Why are the Ritzuahs black? Because you live in the Gemara, in the time of Chazal, shoe straps were black. There was a Hakpada. You have a shoe strap, they must be, I don't know why, but that's black, but that's how it was. The shoes were not necessarily black. The shoes were different colors. But the shoe strap was always black. That's why the tefillin, the ritzuas, more than the tefillin do not have to be black. It's halacha, it's a minhag that we paint our tefillin black. But the ritzuas must be perfectly black. It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. Bidi yavid, yes. Halacha, there are opinions that say no. There are opinions that there's one opinion that says the tefillin also must be black. It could be it's also halacha l'moshe m'sinai, but that's not the mainstream opinion. Ruba d'ruba, nikar adin, the tefillin do not need to be black, and that's why they tell people that the tefillin not perfectly black. Don't worry. It's not an emergency. You don't have to go this moment to the sofa. You can go in a day or two to get it fixed. It's definitely the custom that it should be perfectly black, but it's not a requirement. But the ritzuos, if it's not perfectly black, that's a very big problem. And it has to be black in l'shem, kedushas tefillin, and the ink has to be things which are muta b'ficha. There are many chumras that we apply to the blackening.
The ink capsule says before applying,
you must say l'shem kedushas tefillin. If you don't say l'shem kedushas tefillin, you're in a lot of trouble. Some hold that it's possible. It's not l'shem mitzvah tefillin. But what do we learn from this? We have now we learn this minhag that the tefillin has a much deeper idea. We know that tefillin we mentioned before is represents the concept of the yiras Hashem. The rohu kol am they will be afraid of you. Why are they afraid of you? It's an outgrowth of your Yirah Shemaim. When someone sees that you are a Yirah Shemaim, it's contagious. They also have fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we do that, how do we put the tefillin on our head? What?
Fear of you,
because as an outgrowth, because you identify with the Yiras Hashem, the Yiras Harayim, so as an outgrowth of that, they also are in your environment, in your Seviva, they also, it rubs off the Yira, they're afraid of you. And how do we attach the tefillin to our head? Ekev Anova Yiras Hashem. We attach the tefillin to our head through the other type of Yira, the other extreme of Yira, the Yira that comes through humility. The humility, and humility represents the okev, is the soul. The soul is the foot. Alluding to this other idea in the Medrash is that the yira that we apply to our derech in life, the minel, the shoe, a person cannot travel, you cannot walk, you cannot be mobile in this world unless you're wearing shoes. That's the way Hashem made this world. You must have shoes in order to travel. If a person is too delicate to walk out in the field without wearing something to protect himself. And the sole of the foot must be covered in yira. Your footsteps must be guided by yira Hashem. That yira in our actions, in our derech in life, is what we use to attach the tefillin to our mind in the conceptual type of yiras harimus. It's the fusing of the two different types of yira. That's the deeper meaning of why the tefillin are attached with the ritzuos, based upon this medrash in Mishlei and the pasuk we have right here in front of us. Okay, now we go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Hey is another very well-known pasuk. Tzinim pachim baderech ikesh shoymer nafsho yirchak mehem. Tzinim, what does it mean, tzinim pachim? So, see, this is another example, as we mentioned yesterday, that sometimes we're brainwashed by Chazal, by the Gemara, by the Medrash. We discussed yesterday, sometimes you have a pasuk, and if you ask the average person, what's the pasuk mean? They'll tell you what it says in the Medrash. They're not going to tell you the pshuto shel mikra. Ein mikra yotze midei pshuto. It's a Gemara. The Gemara says, one of the Amoraim said that, kol yomai, I learned Torah, and I never knew that ein mikra yotze midei pshuto. I always thought the pasuk is, every pasuk in the Torah is always as its own mashal. Even chumash, everything is a mashal, but there's also a pashup shat. What's the pashup shat of tzinim apachim? It means thorns and thistles, obstacles on the road, which cause a person to prick, to be harmed. Mitzudos, tzinim apachim, koitzim. Tzinim means a thorn, upachim, traps.
traps. Pachim is a trap. Tzina, I meant sending thorns and thistles. That's just what tzina. Coats for detat smiach loch. Thorns and thistles, but that's what tzina. Tzina is a catch-all phrase. All different types of dangerous things that are on the road. Pachim alludes to a trap, a snare that's laid to trap a person. Upachim yikushim. Yikusha means I don't know what the word yikusha means. Kaitzim upachim yikushim. Harsh?
Crooked?
Yeah. Crooked traps. Nimtsoim baderech ikesh are found on a crooked road. A road that is bent. Rotzoloimar. Hamaakim derach of a person that who takes crooked steps, has a lifestyle that is not to be desired, a life of corruption. Yisyasar bekotzim, he will ultimately be chastised. He will suffer through thorns. The loke bepach, and will be trapped in, and he will be captured. He will be caught in a net, entrapped, and he will be imprisoned and sent away. Avol, and what is the converse? Avol hashomer nafsho, but a person that guards his neshama, v'sar miderecho ikesh, and stays away, steers clear from the crooked road in life. He's an honest, good person, upstanding person. Hinei yirochik mitzin l'pachim, he will be able to successfully distance himself from the tzinim and the pachim. V'lo olav yu, and will not come upon him. So that's what it says over here. One more time in the pasuk, the mitzudos tzin l'pachim derech ikesh. We have thorns and thistles, and we have traps. B'derech ikesh, they are waiting, and they are spread over a crooked road. For people who live a lifestyle of crookedness, but the shomer nafsho, a person is a good person who guards the shama, yirchak mehem, he knows how to distance himself from these traps and from this type of suffering. Rashi says the same exact thing. Tzinim upachim. The word tzinim means litzninim bitzidechem. Hashem says to Klal Yisrael that when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you come to the Canaan, and I'm telling you now, get rid of them. Don't have rachmanis. If you're going to make peace with the Kenanim, when you come into Eretz Yisrael, it'll come to haunt you. The day will come when they'll terrorize you. There'll be thorns in your side. Don't be gentle. Don't be nice to them. Get rid of them. Litzninim bitzidechem ubohu alecha. Another pasuk hatzainain lashem gidudim v'listim. Another word. So there in that pasuk, litzninim means a thorn in your side. Then he has another quotation from pasuk in Yecheskel where it says ubohu alecha hatzainain. What does that mean? It means the thorns will come against you. In ambush, lashem gidudim v'listim, robbers. Robbers and a battalion of enemies, tyrants. Tzinim pachim heim tzinim bedrachim tzinim nakama. Now, what does this pasuk mean in general? Now that we know the translation of the word, that tzinim means thorns, it means trouble, people that will harass you, things that will cause you harm. Now we can translate the pasuk tzinim and pachim. Heim tumunim, there are tzinim, there are traps. Heim tumunim, there are hidden. Bedarke hamaakesh derochav, along the path of a person that makes his steps crooked. A person that lives a lifestyle of corruption. Kolaymar, yisurim muchanim. Lo, the rasha who has an evil lifestyle is destined to suffer the consequences of his evil ways. But shomer nafsho yirchak mehem, shomer yasher maasav yinotzel mehem. A person that makes his way, Yashar will be spared from these harsh things. So now we know the Pshutoi Shel Mikra, according to Rashi, according to the Mitzudos, means thorns, people who harass, forms of suffering, and Pachim are traps, are waiting on the road of the Derech Ikesh, the crooked path in life. According to the Gemara, Tzinim Pachim means cold and hot. Tzinim means cold, pach, it's known as cold, and pachim, lashon of cham. Pachim, you take the last letters, cham, the pay falls away, the pay is not part of the shoresh.
Well, pecham. Yeah.
As a cold. So even the pechem, is the pechem part of the shoresh, or is it the chom? Is the, okay, the, maybe the pe is also used partially, but the ches and the mem are the main words. Chom means hot, heat. So it means cold and cold. Chom
also means cold. So it makes you hot.
What?
Pecham.
Pecham means what?
Cold.
It means cold. Yes, yeah, so you just said pechamim. A pecham means a coal. A pecham. Pecham is a coal. A coal. A coal is hot. It is heat. Okay. So we have here meaning that if a person gets sick, why does the person get sick? Either it's too cold. He does not put up. He goes outside without a coat. He takes a shower and he has wet hair, moisture on his body, and he goes out into this. Just they tell you, right, that if you go out into the street when you're right after a shower, you're setting yourself up to get a cold. What?
An old wives tale.
It's not true?
Cold is caused by a virus. They just recently discovered
that
if you're cold, the virus, your system is, immune system is
weak.
Weak. And therefore the virus attacks you, but it's not the actual
cold. It's not the actual cold. It's just weak as your immunity to be susceptible, vulnerable to a virus. Okay?
Cold is not from stress, it's from also bacteria.
From children. It's not from stress. It's from children. It's all the same, right? Okay, so we have here tzinim pachim. Tzinim is cold. Pachim is heat. If you're in an environment that it's too hot, maybe that means that why you'll tell me the same reason. Not because that it's too hot, you get a sunstroke. It's because when it's very hot, bacteria grows. That's why on airplanes and hospitals, they set the temperature to 60 degrees. Why? Because in a hot environment, you're more the bacteria grows at an accelerated rate. So whatever it means, but tzinim pachim tam chazal, extreme cold, extreme heat is what brings illness upon a person. And according to Chazal, it tells us hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinim upachim. Everything is predetermined. How long a person will live, what kind of children he'll have, what kind of job he'll have, how much he'll suffer, how much he'll be happy. It's all min hashamayim. The only thing that's not min hashamayim is if you get a cold. If you get a cold, you catch the flu, you get it, you're sick, no one to blame but you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows a person to control his destiny in regard to these two matters. Extreme cold and extreme heat. If a person wants to commit suicide, so he has Bechir Chavshas. He was meant to live 120 years. Hashem gave him a mazel where he'll be healthy and he won't get into trouble. You want to take your own life prematurely? No one's stopping you. So the same way in the extreme, no one's stopping you. When it comes to cold and heat, likewise, your own health, things which you can control, it's in your power. Now these things obviously are mishalim. Cold and heat are just, according to most of the Mefarshim, is just the raw example of going out into Alaska to Greenland without a coat. What do you expect? If you go to the Amazon and you sit around there too long, what do you expect? You're going to get sick. But that is an example for everything in life. If you don't make a parnasa, you don't train yourself parnasa, you're not going to have parnasa. What do you expect? You're going to blame it on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You made me poor. Hashem didn't make you poor. You made yourself poor. You want to go do things that are irresponsible. So it's all included in the category of tzinim upachim. This one says in the Gemara. It says in the Gemara here is mashat. What does it mean? Omar Rabbi Chanina hakol bidei shamayim chutz mitzinim pachim, which means the core cold and heat. These things lurk. They're lying out there, cold and heat. You want to guard your health. Protect yourself. Wear a good sweater, a nice scarf, a good pair of gloves. And in the summer, make sure the air conditioner is on and you will be A-okay. Now, yeah.
Are they saying that people get sick, it's their own fault?
Yeah, that's what it says in Chazal. To some degree, not 100%. There's certain illnesses that it's not in your control. Even till today, that most cancer, there was a recent article, that most cancer is DNA. There's almost nothing you can do. That's the latest studies. A good percent. There are certain things you can do. You can ruin it, but to a very large degree, it's built into a person's DNA. How long his body's a time bomb. How long until it self-destructs. That's what they say. I mean, I don't know, maybe they always change every day. They're changing for their ideas, but other things, it's in your power. Now, the Mefarshim take this, they have a little bit of a twist on that. I saw this in the Divrei Chachamim. He says in the Bavli Musar, tzinim upachim refers to a person's midos. Are you warm or cold? These are the mishalim of how you behave with your friends. Someone says good morning to you, and you give them a mean look. That means you're cold. In Chazal's vocabulary, you're a cold person. You have no emotion.
a person that's kind, a litvak, it's litvish outside, over the next Shabbos, it's litvish. It's make sure it's brisk outside. Make sure you wear thick pants. Make sure your pants are all the way down, to the cheek and nice and thick. It's brisk, litvish outside. Okay, but if you're warm, a warm person means you have compassion. You have rachmanis. How can I help you? What could I do for you? What could I give you? Cold and hot represent midos. And it's telling you that don't come to the next world, Achaneh the Esrim, and tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I was a nasty person because that's how you made me. No such thing. HaKol Bidei Shemayim, I gave you wealth, I gave you health, all of those things, you're right. Children, those parnasa, that's all predetermined. But your midos, the way you interacted with your chaverim, you have no one to blame but yourself. You may have a certain predisposition of how you're going to behave. Certain people are naturally have an idea to be cold. But there's no excuse for you not to adjust, to adapt to what is proper. This is in your hands. That's how the Balei Musar learn shat in the Pasuk. Three mahalchim. Pshudashol mikra. Watch out, there are thorns, thistles, and traps lying out there for people who are corrupt. Second interpretation, it means your health. And not only your health, it means things which are suicidal, things which are derech ha-teva. Teva, there's nature. Don't play with nature. Don't expect miracles to happen. And the third idea is midos toivos. There are times to be warm, there are times to be cold, but you have to know how to deal. My father always said, after in front of the Rebbe, he said, the Eivish tefirzach the welt, ruba de ruba. He leaves a little mockery for man to be makalka. Most things in this world, ruba deruba Hashem controls the world. And you would think it's apikoros to say that. No, it's not so. Hashem leaves a person a little mokom to control his own destiny, to control the world. And that also is rooted in this idea, there is tzinim upachim. You want to control the world, you have to, the Pesach, to make a difference in the big things in the world, is by slipping into the back door. You're always looking for a backdoor solution to get in. In cyber encryption, cyber security, there's always a back door. What's the back door to get in to control the world? You slip in to control, to make big decisions by slipping into the tzinim upachim. If you behave yourself and you properly deal with the tzinim upachim in a responsible way, you entered into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world in the back door, and now you'll have influence over controlling the big decisions in life. Okay, let's go further. The joke that's famous. The husband and wife, they were fighting. Everyone knows this joke, which is repeated on the air. They were fighting, and the husband says to the psychologist, "We have a wonderful, to the marriage counselor, we have a wonderful marriage. I make all the big decisions, and my wife makes little decisions. I decide if we should invade Afghanistan, if we should destroy ISIS. I decide who the next president will be.
Events change.
My wife decides everything else. I have the major decisions, she has the small decisions. Let's go to the next pasuk vav, another very well known pasuk. Chanoch lanar al pi darko, you shall train. Chanoch is a very hard word to translate. Chanoch means, according to a lot of the portion, they emphasize, it means to begin. Chanoch im chinoch, chinoch doesn't just mean to train. That's not a really good word. That's how it's commonly translated. Train a child according to his way. That's not really what it means, because you can train an adult. Okay, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, but you can try. You can try. Sometimes it works. You can train anyone. Okay, many people in midlife crisis, they have to go back to school. They have to be retrained. They have to learn new skills. So that's called chanoch. You're going for training. Chanoch means something really else. It means to begin, the haschola. A child's mind is wet cement. The very beginning, hakol holich achar ha haschola. The beginning is what makes all the difference. So if you have a solid haschala, chanoch, if the beginning, that's really what it means. Ilanar, the beginning for the nar shall be al pidarko, and if you'll discover the derech, what is required, the technique that is good for this child, and you will begin to train him in his youth in that way, then gam ki yazkin, as he will age and he will near the end of his life, lo yosur mimena, he will not deviate from what he has been taught in the beginning. The beginning is critical in everything in this world. Let's see the Mitzudos Pasuk Vav. Chanoch means hischil, means the beginning. Look at the Mitzudos Sion before we go further. Chanoch hu inyin haschola, not to train, not to teach. It means the beginning. Haschola ledaber ledaber when haschola ledaber shaasid laamod ledaver haschola ledaver shaasid laamod. But when you begin a matter which a person will need to use later in life, kmo v'lo chanocho, they're referring to I'm not sure what that refers to, okay, but it means, and here means the beginning. Let's see the pasuk of again, and then mitzvah stavid hischil. Okay, right. It's not because normally you train person who knows nothing. It's yeah, right, very right. But the word training is not precise because you can train people later in life also. You can retrain. You've gone in this derech and now you need a new set of skills. So it's true. Generally, you train in the very beginning, but here it has a much greater connotation, a much greater flavor. Is that you're taking wet cement, and you're molding it. And that has a whole different meaning than just translating it loosely as training. Bona bias v'lo nachanecho. You do not inaugurate the bias. You do not enter it for the very first time. You build it v'lo nachanecho, and you do not go into the house for the very first time. Okay. Hischil v'hirgu chanukah cha'oz egmar b'shir mizmar chanukas ha'mizibodir chanukah. It means the renewal. You see, there it's also not a beginning. There it's the renewal. Renewal, that's a very interesting idea. Chanukah is a new beginning, but it's not the beginning. It's a second beginning. Hischil v'hir gilas anar b'shanim, you shall begin, start out with a young man, b'shanim, who's young in years, hanar b'shanim, lo'ilichoy ba'avoydas Hashem l'fi derech chochmaso ima advim harbe. All depends. Each child is different. You can never generalize when it comes to chinuch. Ch'sheyiyah murga, what works, a technique, we all know this, what works for one child does not work for another child. And when a person is murgul, he is accustomed by avodas Hashem. Oz, once he gets trained, he gets into the routine. Oz ki yazkin, even when he gets old, lo yosum imenu ki yitin lev lahaskil kishrin hamaseh ahi, he will pay attention to perfect kishrin. He will pay attention to recognize the correctness of that way. If he's the right, he's trained correctly when he's young, he will always come back to his roots and continuing what he has been trained. Okay, let's see Rashi. Shockingly, there is no Rashi on such a fundamental pasuk. Where?
In the left column.
Chanoch lenar. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, on next page. Chanoch lenar. Okay, I'm sorry. Lefi masha talmid lenar v'tach nichehu. Based upon what you teach a young man and you train him, you begin to teach him b'dvarim im l'tovim l'ra, that's what's going to be for the rest of his life. Gam ki yaskil lo yosem meno, he will not deviate for the rest of his life. Okay, now, few things here. Number one is the famous Gemara. What is a nar? Nar is not an infant. Nar is not a toddler. A nar is an adolescent. Right, that's what an nar is. Moshe, that's the big question. Bisya, when she saw Moshe, nar boiche. Moshe was only, how old was Moshe? He was 3 months. 3 months, l'chol hadeos, is not a nar. Number two, so what does it mean? V'hine nahar boiche. A nahar was crying. That doesn't, there should be a yelet boiche, a tinek boiche. What's a nar? That's why she was so intrigued. to save this child, she recognized this is not an ordinary child, and that's why it says vihine. Vihine is a dynamite word in Tanakh, especially in Chumash. Wherever it says hine, it means the unexpected. It's like you read a novel, and it's like a whodunit, and at the end you're like in shock. After you've been misled the entire book, the author, he totally guided you throughout the entire story. Never imagine that's going to be the guilty party. Vihine. It's an ultimate shock. Where else do you really have the word vihine? People don't appreciate it's twins. Vihine, Rivka. The banim were, every time she passed the base medrash, what happened? The baby kicked. She passed the base avodah zarah. The baby kicked. What's going on? How could the child have a netiya yearning for avodah zarah and for kedusha? So she went to shame. What did shame tell her? Shnei goyim bevitnech. Now, what does that mean? According to the average interpretation, yes, a child. What did when shame said to her, "Don't worry, there are shnei goyim bevitnech." The average child will tell you that shame told Rivka, "You have twins." Shame took a sonogram and said, "Mazel tov, mazel tov. There are twins. You're carrying twins. Go out to babies and us and buy two cribs, two strollers, double what?" Well, that's what it seems. He says vihine. He told shnei goyim bevinech. Problem is, that's really what he told her. Why then, when she gave birth, it says vihine soymim bevitna? The pasuk says vatelid Rivka. She gave birth to twins. She already knew. She was ready to. What was vihine? And behold, from that, some of the farshim learned that when Shem told the shnei goyim bevinech, it doesn't mean he didn't tell her you have twins. He told her what she believed, what they thought was that you have one baby inside of your womb, and from that one child will come two nations. Not today. It'll happen five generations down the line. He'll have a son and have a grandson, a great-grandson, a great-grandson, and finally will come time. There'll be two children, and there'll be a split. There'll be a split. Two dynasties will come, but not today. The dynasty is not going to separate today. Vihine. And behold, it already happened. Vihine semim evitna. It's a very powerful word. It was a shock. They didn't expect this to happen. Some farshim want to learn that even after she had twins, she thought that one twin was just an ordinary child. One of the two was still going to be, was going to be both, yeah. And that's why who? That's why that was the question. Yitzchak and Rivka, there's a very wild mahalach in the pasuk. What were they fighting about Yitzchak and Rivka? So Pashim Shad is, who gets the brachas? Who gets the brachas? No, the question was, who's going to be the one, who's going to be the one that's going to be instrumental in passing down to the later generations? In other words, one child is going to be a nothing. He'll be whatever, he'll just be a nothing. And the other child is going to get all the brachas, even if he's an Esav, even though he's Epis, he's something wrong, because his great-great-grandchild will one day split into two nations. Was it going to be Yaakov that's going to have the split personality? Or was it going to be Esav that's going to have the split personality? So Rivka says that it's going to come through Yaakov, and Yitzchak thought it's going to come through Esav. But they were both wrong. The shock was, it already happened. The shock was that they already split at the time they were born. That's a whole different amount. That's all based on the word vihine. Now, how do we get into the word vihine? Going back to chanech lenar al pidarko. Okay, so that's vihine nahar boicha. That was the shock. The shock was vihine Moshe Rabbeinu was born vihine nahar boicha. It was a shock. Why was it a shock? Because the word nar does not mean an infant. A nar means an adult, an adolescent. And therefore, it was a shock. Why does he have the voice, the cry of a nar? So here we learn, so obviously when it says chanech lenar al pidarko, we're not talking about kindergarten. We're not talking about preschool and pre-1A, and not even talking about elementary school. We're talking about someone already who is in high school, someone who's already in college age. And that's in Mamash what it says in Chazal. Chazal, so what is it called? Nar, Tzmachlekes, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia. Chanama 1 says, Meshitzar ad Eshen Vitaratin, from 16 until 22. 16 until 22 is the time, the most critical time in a person's life. That's when his mind is the derech he takes in that point in his life will make a difference for his whole life. The Chachamim once says, "Gamurtam itam neisrei 18 ad eshim v'arba," from 18 until 24. Now, what do they say in the secular world about this, Chazal? What do they say in the Jewish world? What do they say? I don't know. I don't know what they say, but Chazal say that the critical time in a person's life, where you are mechuyev, where you should devote all of your resources. How much time and money can you spend on educating a person? It's not so simple. You have to know what's critical. It's important to go. Some people will tell you when they're in the crib, you have to play certain types of music. Everything that happens. What?
Einstein
toys. It's a whole industry. Some hold that's the ikar. That's the zman, that's going to change his entire life. Chazal don't seem to say that. They seem to say the most important time, you want to spend money, you want to save up money, the time to invest in a child is 16 to 22, 18 to 24. I don't know, maybe Nishtana HaTeva, maybe times are different, I don't know, but this will at least we have to know what Chazal says. You want to say that today is... I don't know, so you have to see what does Chazal mean. Chazal means this is the time when you have to work, you have to be very, very, very delicate, very, very sensitive, very careful in the age of a child at this age, because that's chanoch lanar al pi darko. If you ask the average person, oh, it says chanoch lanar al pi darko, you right away conjure the image of a child in kindergarten, first grade, and you have to special give them a special skill set. You teach them already how to use the iPad. They have to know how to do the iPad when they're in kindergarten, because now is the time when chanoch lanar al pi darko. Right? Isn't that what the average person thinks?
Well,
I think so. What? What?
There was an article in the Jewish Press this week. A lady wrote in the family section. Ken Lachen, but
yes, she wrote it.
Ken Lachen, you could laugh, but I thought the article had that merit. She's talking. She has six children. Two oldest are boys. The rest are girls. The older two boys, and then must be either young teenagers or they go to major yeshivas here. And her problem was they don't have their chavrut. She knows already that they're chutzpahed. Boys. And she contends that they don't teach them mitzvahs in yeshiva. What about the girls? The girls don't fuck that. The girls learn a lot, but they have no... There's so much that they want to be perfectionists to the point that they don't enjoy their growing up as children. In other words, you're stressing so much the learning for the girls, and that's a kind of... You're a child also. You're not just a facing adult machine that you're going to job and you're Muslim. So she's critical about it. And the author agrees with her. She says, "Mind you, the author responded, this is in the press, and she gives her name, says she is a payer of business. Alice is a business. In other words, they have to have money for this, money for that. Teachers, they're paying a low ranking, except the star, whoever, classifies the education. Part of her, and they don't hire us. Nidus, and I read other people, there was a Shaila, I think you mentioned it, about spending time teaching Muslim. Do they teach Muslim yeshivas today? At the age, happens of fearing their heresy? But I assume not, because otherwise this lady wouldn't be complaining. So when he says, Chanoch Nar al Piyadako, what is it you're teaching the Nar? You're teaching the young person the Gemara, Mishnah, and all that stuff, fine. But Blisveg and Ganjozachim, what about the Nidus? Chereitz, how to conduct yourself.
We just learned those two psukim before that. How to do
but it's not being applied. That's my point.
Yeah. Here.
I'm not saying Shlomo Melech Chas V'Shalom is wrong.
What you're saying? Yeah. What you're saying, Chanoch is actually the beginning.
The beginning.
A good teacher gets you excited about learning what's further. It's not important what he's teaching you. The
whole system of education is built. What you're saying is very controversial, and the truth is that's the whole system of the system of education in the yeshivas is built upon that. How much do you learn? They learn today in yeshiva in a year. 2-3 blot in Beis Medrash. 2-3 blot, 4 blot. What are they? It's a joke. Some people they learn daf yomi. They learn more in one day daf yomi. They learn a whole year. So what's the excuse? The excuse is, I'm not telling you it's right or wrong. I know nothing about this. Is that the like Zigmund Rav Meir is saying, the derech is to teach them the beauty, the depth to want to learn. In the younger years, you have to teach. You have to open up their mind. They should appreciate the depth of Torah, the beauty of Torah, and the desire to want to learn. Then, as they get older, then mimela they fill in and they fill in the gaps. Problem is, not everyone makes it that far. So the other hand is, you should right away focus on bikkias in the younger years. They should at least walk out of school knowing a significant amount of knowledge.
So what are you saying?
But the other hand is, I don't know the solution.
Shimish Raboy more than Tom. You see how the Rebbe conducts himself.
You're right. 100%. You want to get me started? I can go give you the same speech, even worse. But I don't have any answers. I don't have any solution. I don't have any answers. Obviously, we're living very difficult times. Obviously. Everyone says the same thing. So why doesn't anyone have a solution? Everyone is complaining. So why are there no solutions? I don't know.
Power.
So no one has the power. You have a whole world.
The way they measure success is by the
I don't know.
Results on the test.
Wait, who measures? It's a reflection in the secular world. When you hire people now, right? You're not allowed. I did that a lot in my life. At the beginning, you would trust your instincts. You'd interview the person. You'd look at his credentials. But your decision would be a gut decision as to who to hire or who to put in this position or whatever. Because you have to trust. You have to have a certain trust in your own ability to do that. And I think we've lost that. So now, I know, you have to have all these criteria. You have to write down. He gets a certain number of points if he answers the question this way and a certain number of points that way. You caught up the points. And I think this is... In the religious world too, you measure a person by how good he is at learning a certain blot of Gemara. You don't. It's easier to measure that than it is to
you don't see the big person. Picture. You don't see the big picture. They say this in the medical field as well. They don't treat. It used to be the doctors were trained to teach to treat the patient. Today they're trained to teach
the symptom. They have exact protocol.
The symptom.
They have to follow. They
the symptom. Specialized in the heart. Specialized in this organ, that organ. But that's not everything interacts. There's a whole person that has to be treated. I don't have any solutions. I don't know. Let's go further. Chanoch lanal pidako. It's a powerful pasuk and it's a lot of depth. But that's the first yisod. The first yisod is a shocking chiddush that this pasuk is not being applied according to the Gemara to a young child. It's being the pasuk is being directed towards an adolescent, 16 to 22 or 18 to 24. Period. Okay, the next thing is, the Gemara does a couple of interesting things, is the Gemara gives some illustrations of this idea. This is a shocking illustration. Chanoch lanar, don't just learn this in reference to a person, one generation. This idea spans multiple generations. For example, when Klal Yisrael was on the brink of coming into Eretz Yisrael, Reuven comes to Moshe and says, Moshe, we don't want to go. We don't want to cross over the Yarden. We like it here. We like the Eiver HaYarden because it's a Mokom Mira. So the Medrash says something shocking. Where did Reuven get this idea, this strange idea not to cross the Yarden? They got it from their grandfather, their great-grandfather, Reuven. Vayelech Reuven b'mei kitzir chitim. Reuven went out during the harvest and he found flowers. He found flowers, he came home, he wanted to give it to his mother Leah, and Rachel said, those flowers are perfect, they're good for fertility uses, for fertility pills, and therefore I need the fertility pills, so give it to me, and in exchange for giving me the dudoim, these flowers, Yaakov can go to you tonight, and from that came Yisachar. Now, basic question, what is Reuven doing in the field picking flowers? Reuven should be in the Beis Medrash. He should be in school. Reuven was a child. What's he doing out there? Reuven was very young. We're dealing at the age now when, from this event, who was born? Yisachar was born. Right? So how much older was Yisachar than Reuven? Only a couple of years. How old was Reuven? Reuven was a nar. He was probably even younger than a nar. He was a child. How old was he possibly? So what is Reuven doing out in the field? You don't let a child go roam in the field where there are flowers. Maybe the poison ivy. Who knows what's out there? Teretz says, this is... Somehow, this was his netiyah, for better or for worse. This is how he began his life. He was a person that was yetzei lasodeh. He went out to the field. That had an effect on his neshama
And Menela, his great-grandchildren, also liked to go out to the Soda. So when they were crossing over the right before they were about to cross the Yarden, and there was a big open field, and they saw mirror, and they saw plants and vegetation, ah, this is what we want. Where did it come from, that desire to go to stay in the Soda? This is what the Medrash says. So what? Good point. I don't know, God. So maybe good about God. No, Chatzim and Menashe were assigned. Chatzim and Menashe did not want. Chatzim and Menashe were Moshe Rabbeinu. He, for whatever reason, he won't say it's a punishment. I don't know what you want to call it.
Keep an eye on them.
But why them? Why do they have to? Why do they have to have this task? Let's say they wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe they had the Tis also. I don't know. They had Chatzim and Menashe doesn't say anywhere they wanted this. Chatzim and Menashe, Moshe Rabbeinu told them, this is what you have to do. You don't have a choice. God, very good question. Possibly, I don't know, but possibly the answer could be based upon this medrash. This medrash is giving us a lot of insight, a lot of things that we don't know. A lot of mafarshim tell us this. A lot of things we think we know everything. We know nothing. There's a lot of that's been lost in history, in midrashim, chazal, we don't know. But it could very well be from this medrash getting insight that maybe God on their own would never have done this. God maybe really wanted. But God did not have the guts to go to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, we want to stay here. But now that Reuven, you have the guts to go to Moshe Rabbeinu and make this demand, the nail of God joined Reuven. That's what would appear. I'm saying this apikorsis, but that's what would appear if you just look at this medrash alone. This medrash alone says the instigators were Reuven. And where did it come from in Reuven? We have a precedent. What's the precedent? Little five-year-old boy. Vayetze Reuven. Vayetze Reuven. He went out to the field to go find flowers.
Reuven also decided to take a walk in the field.
By Mechiras Yosef?
When they threw him into the hole.
No, but Reuven, he went to Tshuva, Chazal say. He went, take care of his father. It was his day. It was his day to take care of him. Also, it says that he went to Tshuva. He had a say, the shave of him. This is the last day today. You know what today is? Today we should really have a shave. Today is the last day of shave of him. Shavim, you know, Shavim stands for Shemois, Vo'era, Bo, B'Shalach, Mishpatim. It's a time when you do tshuva. We once spoke about this. And you're supposed to fast twice a week. Some fast every single day. But at least you're supposed to fast Monday and Thursday. So today is the last fast day of Shavim. So, Mary, did you bring tikkun today? You couldn't what? He missed the last fast day of Shavuot, but that's what he was doing. He was Isaac and Misakoy v'Tanisa because of what he did with Bila. He removed the couch.
Hold it. The more you eat, the more it's
The more you eat, the better it is. Okay. The other example the Chazal illustrates Chanochon al pidarko in a good way is Lot. Lot, when the Malachim came to Lot and said to Lot, Lot, Gnu, we're saving you. And so Lot was no tzaddikal. Lot, he went to Sodom v'Amora. Lot, he saw Vayaris, Kikikar, he saw Sodom, Kulamashke, Gan Hashem, Keretz Mitzrayim, and Lot, Chazal tell us, Gnu, good and well, they were Rishoyim. The people in Sodom were Rishon, and some say he went to Bedaf because he wanted to enjoy himself in Gili Arayis and all these forbidden pleasures. And he Bedafka went to Sodom. Yet, when the Malachim come to visit him, what does he do? He takes them in, his Machnes Orach, his Moiser Nefesh, Ad Klekach, he's willing to give away his own daughters that they should not harm his guests. Where in the world did Lot get this Midah to be Moiser Nefesh, to take in guests, to save the guests? Lot was no tzaddikal. He was a baltaiva, a terrible baltaiva. Chanoich lanar al pidarko. When Horon died in the Kivshan Ho'esh, who adopted Lot? Who signed the papers? Avram. Avraham raised Lot. Chanoich lanar al pidarko. What was Avram? Ayita Eshel. Avraham's midah was gemilas chasadim that rubbed off on Lot. And now even Kiyask, now he's a zaken. He's Yoshev Rosh in a city of Rishoyim that's about to be destroyed. Gavra Samara. What is he involved in doing? Chesed. He's machnas. He's moiser nefesh to do chesed. Why? To illustrate the idea of chanoich lanar al pidarko. Gam Kiyaskin lo yusosur mimenu. He will not deviate. Powerful stuff.
You can also use it in a practical for every
when you see people that say get Alzheimer's,
yeah,
they will
go back.
They will go, and for example, if he was a chazan,
or go back to their youth.
He'll know the davening.
Balpeh.
At road, even though he doesn't know what he's saying.
Because so these are what is the custom? Chanuch on al pidar. Yeah, yeah.
When I say Shema, when I'm not wearing tefillin, I still go around like this kissing.
On Shabbos.
That's
Shabbos.
The onset of Alzheimer's.
Yeah?
Yeah. Well, unless you don't do it by
Ma'ariv. Shabbos. By Ma'ariv, you say Kriya Shema.
Yes,
you said. I saw a Rav give a drasha when he gave a drasha on Shabbos, and he mentioned tefillin shaliyah. He actually touched his arm and he touched his head. He knew what he was doing. I think he did it on purpose, you know, but it was like for a dramatic effect. But that's right, you don't know. Okay, that concludes this pasuk. Let me just see if there's something over here I wanted to mention. Chanoich lanar al pidarkoi. No, he says the same thing. All right, I guess with that we will conclude.